break every chain.
Amen. Amen. Jesus is alive. Have a seat. Have a seat. Now we'll hear the reading of God's word. We'll invite our sister Jade to come on up. That's right. Get a little personal shout out, huh?
Today's scripture reading is from Luke 24, 1-8, and 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 to 26, and 51 to 58. Luke 24, 1-8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 to 26, 51 to 58. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, sister. Let's all bow our heads together in prayer. Jesus, you're alive. Risen from the dead, ascended in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Praying for us even now. Please pray for us, Jesus. You're alive and speaking to us through your word. So we pray that you would send us your Holy Spirit. Make us attentive to your word, to your heart, to your resurrection. What does it mean? What difference does it make? Tell us. And make us new. And do all this as we study your word. Do this that we might be changed. Do this for our good. Ultimately, do this for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Early on that first Easter morning, a small group of women made their way to the tomb where Jesus lay. They carried spices in their hands and sorrow in their hearts. And they carried with them the quiet belief that the story was over. After all, Jesus had claimed to be the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. But now he was crucified. Everything they had hoped for in Jesus, forgiveness, liberation, eternal life, seemed crushed at the cross. The one they trusted was dead. And with him, the future that they once had imagined seemed buried. But when they arrived, nothing was as expected. The stone was rolled away, we're told in verse 2. The tomb was empty. Two angels in clothes, gleaming like lightning, asked a question that still echoes today. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Jesus was alive. God overturned every expectation. He rewrote the ending that they thought they knew. And friends, that's the message of Easter. What looks like the end is not the end. What feels final is not final. What looks finished is not finished at all. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul proclaims in 1 Corinthians 15, where we find the richest and longest explanation of the resurrection in the Bible. There we are told, your sin is not the end of the story. Your suffering is not the end of the story, and even death is not the end of the story. Beloved, your sin is not the end of your story. Paul says in verse 3, Christ died for our sins. He took the punishment that we deserve. Our sins, your sins are forgiven. Amen. But then he says in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. In other words, if Jesus stayed dead, sin wins. If Jesus stayed dead, his death would have been proven pointless and powerless. His words and claims would have been exposed as lies. If Jesus remained dead, then your sin, my sin, is the end of the story. Guilt and shame get the last word. If Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But that's not what happened. Jesus got up. Recently, I was standing in line at Marshall's behind a man who was trying to return something without a receipt. You ever try doing that? And the cashier kept asking him patiently, "Sir, do you have your receipt?" "No, I told you already, I don't have any receipt." And he's getting mad at the cashier as if this is her fault. You know, why can't you just, I don't have time for this. And I'm listening to this exchange and quietly judging this dude, you know. Because why do you normally need a receipt in order to make a return? Because before they hand you your money back, you need proof that you really did purchase that item at the store, right? That's how receipts work. A receipt proves that the price has already been paid, correct? Friends, Christ's resurrection is like a receipt. It's God's proof that the price for your sins has already been paid. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ wasn't just a miracle. It was a public announcement to the world that the cross worked. When Jesus died, he fully atoned for our sin. And when he rose, God declared, paid in full. Hallelujah. Think again about those women. They came expecting to care for a dead body with embalming spices. They came weighed down by grief and confusion. But instead, unexpectedly, they encountered life. They encountered the confirmation of salvation. Some of you are living today as though your story is defined by your worst chapter, or as if your story ends with your worst mistake, a sin you regret, a pattern that you just can't break, a failure that you continually replay. And maybe you've quietly concluded, this is just who I am. This is how my story ends. But Easter says to you, that's not the end of your story. Your sin is not the end of the story. Because Christ is risen, your guilt is not final. Your past is not permanent. Your sin is paid in full. Hallelujah. If you trust in Christ, God has already written a better ending to your sin. He's already written the final word over your life. And that word is not condemned, it's forgiven. Not because you fixed yourself or tried harder or forgave yourself, but because Jesus already bore the judgment that we deserved, and justice is fully satisfied, and the resurrection guarantees it. Will you believe this, dear friend? Beloved, you don't have to live buried under what Jesus has already buried. Not only is your sin not the end of the story, friends, your suffering is not the end of the story. Listen to what Paul says in verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits means this: what happened to Jesus back then is going to happen to his people one day. His resurrection wasn't just an isolated event a long time ago. It's the beginning of a harvest. One day when Christ returns, do you know, everyone united to him will be raised bodily just like him. Verse 52 says, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. Can you imagine it? No more tears. No more pain. Romans 8 tells us that even creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. This is what the resurrection means. A new world has already begun. A new world is breaking in, and one day it will come in full. But here's the tension. We don't fully see that new and healed world yet, do we? Not fully. We still live in a world that often feels like Good Friday and Holy Saturday. Grief lingers. Prayers feel unanswered. War continues. Evil seems to win. The women walking to the tomb knew that feeling. Do you feel it? But then Sunday came. And our passage tells us that that means something important, that everything that God opposes, disease, injustice, violence, is on borrowed time. Their defeat is already secured. Their expiration date, like an old jug of milk in the fridge, is already set. As verse 24 tells us, then the end, the true end of the story, will come when Christ hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has, what? Destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, verse 25. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Beloved, evil is not ultimate. Just injustice is not going to win. Your suffering, the brokenness of this world, is not the end of the story. Some of you are standing in places in life right now that feel like tombs, a relationship that feels beyond repair, a grief that won't let go, a season when nothing seems to make sense. And it can feel like chapter after chapter, life is only terribleness and loss. But Easter tells us what feels like the end is actually the middle of the story, which means God is still working. Even in the graveyards of life, God is still redeeming, still bringing life out of death. He's still writing the story. And recognizing this makes all the difference. I recently walked in while one of my kids was rewatching The Lion King. Right at the moment when the little cub Simba watches his father Mufasa die in a stampede of wildebeests. If I just spoiled it for you, sorry, I mean. That's 30 years ago, you know, you had a chance, yeah. Terrible scene, right? Heartbreaking. I came in on this, you know, especially when Simba crawls under Mufasa's paw and snuggles up, you know, against dad. It's too much, you know, Mufasa. And in that moment, right, the loss felt final. In that moment, the situation felt hopeless, and stumbling across this scene, I felt it, but I didn't cry. I was tempted to, but I didn't. And you know why I didn't cry? Not because I'm tough, but because I've watched the movie over 30 times. And that means I knew how it ends, right? Follow me. I knew how it ends with grown-up Simba, newly enthroned king of Pride Rock, holding up his own little cub, right? Baby dedicate, no, infant baptism, no. Holding up his own baby boy. So that for me, even in the middle of that painful, slightly traumatizing middle of the movie, yeah, I could feel the heaviness, but I wasn't crushed by it because I knew this isn't the end. Glory's still coming. Friends, some of you are in a middle moment right now. And it hurts. It's confusing. Easter reminds us, beloved, God hasn't finished the story. And that's why Paul can say in verse 58, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Keep going." Jesus is alive. Keep going. The story continues. Keep going, because nothing is wasted. Not your tears, not your prayers, not your quiet faithfulness when nobody's looking. God is not just working around your suffering. He's working in it and through it. And one day, even the hardest chapters in life, your life, and in this world, even the hardest chapters, and you might be in one of those right now, will be revealed as part of the beautiful story that God was redeeming and writing all along. The struggle is real. Not making light of that at all. But because of Easter, we know how it all ends in glory, in triumph, in resurrection. And that perspective makes all the difference. Your sin is not the end of the story. Your suffering is not the end of the story. And even death is not the end of the story. Our passage reaches a triumphant climax in verse 54, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. Then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Then in verse 55, quoting the Old Testament prophet Hosea, Paul starts to sort of trash talk death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death feels like the ultimate ending, doesn't it? Apart from Christ, in many ways, it is. It's the moment where everything seems to stop. The women by the tomb, they thought that tomb was the final chapter. And we often think the same. But the resurrection declares, even with death, it's not the end of the story. Because when Jesus rose, he conquered death itself. And not just for himself, but also for all who follow him by faith. He's the first fruits, right? We talked about that. One day, someday, your death, my death, all death will die. Hallelujah. The grave is not your final destination. Death is not your conclusion. Your story will continue beyond the grave, and our passage tells us we will all be raised. We will all be changed. We will be made imperishable, not just spiritually, but bodily, fully, gloriously, just like Jesus. And friends, if we get this, this changes everything. How we face everything in life, even death itself. If death is the end, then Paul is right when he says in verse 32, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die."
You know, live for now. Grab what you can while you can. Possessions, power, avoid pain, protect yourselves at all cost, right? But if the resurrection is real, and it is, if it's written into your story, then you can live boldly today, can't you? Because you have power. As Romans 8 reminds us, the very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. You've got power. And you can resist injustice steadfastly and courageously. A few days ago, Rachel Davis sent over this wonderful article in the Post entitled "Easter Destroys the Ultimate Weapon of Tyranny," written by Robert Barron, a Catholic bishop in Minnesota. Just listen to this line that he writes: "The resurrection challenges the power of death on which every system of oppression relies. Tyrants have reason to tremble at the good news of the resurrection. By destroying the power of death, it shatters the fear on which they rely." By his resurrection, Christ has removed the weapon that terrorizes us. So you can resist injustice steadfastly. You can love radically with sacrifice and generosity and courage and risk, because you know that whatever you might lose in this life, even life itself, will all be restored to you 100-fold in the resurrection. Like the early Christians who fearlessly cared for the sick during the plagues in Rome. People who were dying and dropping dead, abandoned even by their own family members and followers of Jesus, said, "No, I'll be your family. I'll pick you up. I'll be near to you and not run away." Caring for them even when it might cost them their lives, because they were confident that this life is not the last chapter. What might risk-taking love, courageous love, look like for you today? Whom you love and where you live and what you dare to do fearlessly for the sake of Christ. Those Christians understood that the worst case scenario for the Christian, worst case scenario, is resurrection and eternal life. You can lose everything in this life, even life itself, for the sake of love and faithfulness, and you will still in the end gain. What a bargain. Because of the resurrection, death has become not a cliff, but a bridge, not a wall, but a doorway to life. Don't you want to finally live? The women came to the tomb expecting an ending. Instead, they found a beginning, and that same reality is offered to you today. Because Jesus got up from the grave, your sin is not the end of the story. Your suffering is not the end of the story, and even death itself is not the end of the story. So here's the question for us. Will you keep standing outside the tomb in hopelessness and fear? Or will you go inside and believe what God has declared? And what has he declared? Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Let me hear you. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
One more time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Beloved, it's not the end of the story. Let's pray. Help us to believe. Help us to live. Help us to walk by faith, seeing your life, embracing your life, your resurrection, your promise. Make us bold like you. Fill us with faith. Help us to believe in your forgiveness. Help us to believe in a world that you promised to remake and renew. Help us to believe that everything terrible has an expiration date. Help us to believe you're coming again, that death has been conquered, and that Jesus wins. By faith, we grab a hold of hope. We are prisoners of hope. We can't help but hope because Jesus is alive. Help all these things to be true. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.